Good evening, everyone. Welcome. I'd like to call to order Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors meeting on this day, February the 6th, 2018. Would you please join us with the Pledge of Allegiance and a moment of silence?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mr. Sheridan is running. Mr. Sheridan's running a little.
But what if, I guess that we're together.
Yeah, that mine's already on there. So what do I want to mark that to? I'm going to bring up the other side. You didn't make a note in our.
Everything okay? Everything all right?
I even looked for it.
This little bag that we received on Old Farm's Day, right? It's a perfect fit for this book right here, so you have to bring it.
We want you to recycle your budget binder every year. Perfect. Those came from, grant, recycle, trash and recycling grant money.
Yes, thank you.
Well, give it to them.
Okay, all right.
That's awesome.
Okay, we've done that. I need to see if we're ready to adopt the agenda. So anyone want to add? Okay, it is a new.
I'm sorry, one note, ma'am, please.
Yes.
Tab W,
mm-hmm.
It's just a duplicate. You can just line through that.
Oh. Okay.
It's just a little bit of tab U.
Okay. Okay, thank you. So we have a motion by Mrs. Iger and a second by Mr. Weave. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And our agenda is adopted. County Administrator's report, please.
Yes, ma'am. Just a couple, actually just one quick thing. Just on your calendar coming up. Remember, next week you have a work session. That's the budget work session with constitutional officers. But it's at 4 o'clock, not 7 o'clock. We made those notes out there and advertising things. But 4 o'clock next Wednesday, not 7 o'clock, because I think the chair's wife's birthday is that day. It's also Valentine's Day. Anyway, that was a good reminder. So remember, 4 o'clock next week. Then the following is the regular meeting, but you have the board work session with the school board at 4 o'clock that week. And then you have 7 o'clock regular meeting. And then the last week of the month, the 28th, the budget work session with agencies, and that'll be over in the Morris Room. But I'll remind each week as we go through this, because we've got a lot of budget meetings coming up. But remember, next week, 4 o'clock in the Morris Room for the constitutional officers' budget work session.
All
any
right.
Questions from the board?
No. Any questions?
No.
All right. Now we are open for public comments. First public comment of the time. If we have anyone who would like to speak to the board, please come and sit in our welcome chair, or you can stand, give your name and address, and you have 5 minutes. Do we have anyone? If not, I would like to close the first public comment. We do not have any public hearings this afternoon, so we will go to action matters. General Reassessment Services, a real property contract. Cindy Toller, our purchasing officer.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
An RFP was issued on December 1st, 2017, closed December 28th, 2017. We did only receive one submission from Pearson's Appraisal. Our current contractor informed the Commissioner of Revenue that they did not bid on the project because they are closing their doors. They're no longer doing business. We chose not to repost the solicitation because the Commissioner of Revenue did some research, deemed that Pearson's Appraisal pricing was reasonable, and they came highly recommended by both our current vendor that we use and other jurisdictions that the Commissioner of Revenue spoke to. The cost proposal. For any first-time assessments, new constructions from year 2018 to 2020 would be $32 per parcel. For the administrative review reassessment that's taking place in 2018, it would be $8.75 per parcel. And for the 2021 general reassessment would be $13 per parcel. And that's the one where they actually go out and take pictures and walk on each property. Year one would be 2018. That's when they're going to work on the administrative reassessment. Year two is the effective date of that administrative reassessment. And year three is the full general reassessment, which would take effect in 2021. And this is a price comparison, just so you can see where our pricing lines up. For Blue Ridge, our current vendor, we are paying only $4.75 for the administrative reassessment. Pearson is going up to $8.75. I had nothing else to compare that to. According to the Commissioner of Revenue, it's very common rate. The
so
general
doubling, are we on
the yeah. Apparently in the last contract, Blue Ridge really cut the rates lower than anybody else. They were really trying to get in and get into our business, or stay in our business, rather. Yeah, vastly lower. The general reassessment is only going from $11 to $13, but there is another jurisdiction using another company, not either of these two. Their general reassessment is costing them $6.75 per parcel. So we're still at a pretty good rate. And first time new construction, Blue Ridge was 28, Pearson is 32, that other county is 30. But again, the other rates are so much lower, it balances out and then some.
I talked to several county administrators too that use Pearson for their reassessment services, and they're all very, very happy with their services. They have a very good industry reputation, but Blue Ridge has just been historically cheap, and other counties have used them as well, but now they're no longer a viable option for us because they're not going to be doing business. So.
Yeah.
So what do we come up with the bottom line? You know, you see what the partials are, but the last time wasn't it about $250,000 or something? I'm just throwing a figure out there.
Yeah.
But
here's what we're looking for, that bottom one. To fix this fiscal year, the bottom red one is a new motion to add on there. That bottom red one is $11,474. That's what it'll take to finish out this year because they're starting now. They'd be starting this calendar year. And we are working on Ms. Toller and Ms. Hudgens from the Commissioner's Office are working on the master chart that shows the full cost comparison for 4 years. So we'll build that in your budget. I don't know if you've got. Did you guys get that done today?
I don't have those numbers with me, but
well, they're like 9,000 homes, right?
Pardon? Yeah,
about 9,000 homes in the county, isn't there?
About 10,000. Yeah, about 10,000 partials, and I'm sorry, 10,000 homes,
19,545
partials. Yeah,
partials.
Yeah, so just round it up to 20,000 and multiply it out. But it's going to be a chunk more than what we pay now.
50% more, maybe, or
it won't be 50%.
Well,
more because
yeah, in the first year, it will be close to 50%. In out years, it's not a lot more. I mean, it is $2 partial. It is a lot more, but not nearly 50%.
Yeah. So I mean, if you look at there for this administrative year, it's $4 more per partial, so about $80,000
difference.
Right. Because there's about 20,000 partials. Difference. Next year it'll be $2 times 20,000 partials, so about $40,000 difference. So the whole cost of the contract is going to be several hundred thousand dollars more, but I'm not sure what alternative is.
New appraisals.
Right.
You have called.
Right there at the bottom.
Yeah. I thought in the past the Commissioner of Revenue sometimes did those new appraisals.
So I'm just wondering if there's a change in that.
I can tell you that Blue Ridge did do new constructions prior.
Talk about that. Talk about that.
Blue Ridge did do new constructions prior, and they were billed as they were done. There was nothing set in stone for them to do at any specific time of year. They just happened as they were done.
I think Mr. Sheridan picks up stuff when it's off-cycle.
I just have heard him mention something about...
Sure. Can you answer a question about new construction, new proposals being done out of cycle? Mr. Weaver thought maybe you did some of those yourself rather than the...
Yes, sir. The answer is I have been and continue to. I get all the additions, which are by far and away the largest group. Generally in the neighborhood of 300 to 350 that are additions, anything from deck being added to, you know, screen porch to attached garage, etc. About a year and a half ago, we asked Blue Ridge if they would give us a price to pick up our new construction so that we were continuing to have the same set of eyes. In other words, the lead assessor that did the general reassessment and looked at every property in the 10,000 plus homes, if they would give us a price for any new construction, not addition, to pick them up. That's not generally been worn about, I'll say 60, sometimes a little less, sometimes a little more.
100 houses, basically, a year of new construction.
Less than that, sir, about 60, 60, you know, depending on the year. Mr. Dahl can speak.
Most of them have averaged, I noticed the reports that we received from the county, runs between 90 and 110. A year?
Right, for the last 3 years.
Yes, for the last 3 years.
2017.
I will pick up some of them, but if we get, say, 20 of them, you know, and this time of year we don't have a lot come through, but generally it's a building cycle. We get into the summer months.
Sure.
And I might ask them to come down for a day and they'll pick up 15, 18. Any unique properties that I wouldn't necessarily look at fairly routinely, I'll ask them if it's a commercial construction. And so Blue Ridge has done that for us for this past contract window. We asked Pearson, the company that did, if they would do that also. And they said certainly they do it for almost every county they work with. So
if they did all of them, it'd only be, it'd be about $3,000 a year.
It's not too much. It's just, and that's actually not in every, it, I usually just pay for that as my budget. But I'd be happy to speak to anything else. Forgive me for being late. Tired of talking.
No.
Any other questions?
I'll sit in case.
Mr. Sheridan.
Was any, and I don't, I'm just, was any consideration given to doing a full appraisal now as opposed to a partial appraisal because they're, or a general appraisal, because they're a new firm and maybe we want a fresh set of eyes on it instead of coming in the middle and pre-deciding maybe what the values are?
They like this approach. In fact, it may not be a new set of eyes. Y'all have spoken to this. I was a little surprised Blue Ridge didn't apply. And so, not apply, but submit a bid, maybe that's a better term.
They weren't out of bid.
And so, ma'am, not yet.
Not yet?
I talked to the owner of the company, Mr. Hickey. You know, he's been in and spoken to y'all several times. They have been doing their general appraising since 1980. I know they were here in 84 and every time since. And so I called Mr. Hickey and said, I just wanted to follow up and see if y'all decided not to for a particular reason or just what. His health is bad, and he has decided to close that part of the company. He has actually has a couple of companies. One of them is the one that has the software that a lot of counties use. But the actual on-the-ground appraising, he's elected to shut that down. And I will just say we may not have a change of lead assessor. There are a few people that work for Mr. Hickey, and without just trying to, I'm not trying to not disclose anything. It's a good chance that this company may hire his two or three people that has been doing his work, and will be with a different firm, but exactly the same people. if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
In fact, I believe that will be the case. And Mr. Pearson really liked the idea. He's used to most rural counties doing on a four-year cycle reassessment, or even longer. The two-year reassessment cycle has kept us right around 2% up or down, and he thought it was an excellent way to accomplish the same process, save some money doing it, and he didn't see any issue at all. He worked with Cumberland and a few other local counties, so this...
No way we can get this new company then if they make one.
What's that, sir?
There's no way that we could use those three people if they incorporate that new.
I fully anticipate the same people we have been working
Blue Ridge.
Will be
the employees, the Blue Ridge employees will hopefully be working with Pearson.
Oh, okay.
Is that really to our advantage? Is it really ideal, I guess? I don't want to say advantage because they're going to come up with the appraisal that they come up with, but if we've had essentially the same appraisers look at the same properties for the last 30 years, are they predisposed to view them in a certain manner?
Well, let me answer it this way. The lead assessment that we have will be new because the lead assessor, Mr. Jonathan Lawson, had worked for Blue Ridge for a lot of years. After doing the 17 reassessment for us, retired. And Blue Ridge assigned us a new lead assessor who we worked with on some specific properties, and I was extremely satisfied with him. And he will be a new look for Blue Banner. He has not looked at Blue Banner. He's been primarily in Northern Virginia, Delaware, working as a Blue Ridge guy, but he is now working as a Blue Banner lead assessor. So, in fact, Pearson has another former lead assessor named Randy Willis that he anticipates working him. So we will have new eyes coming working with us, regardless of whether they hire Blue Ridge people. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be, he didn't see where Flew. He'd done a lot of the groundwork because all of our sales are recorded, with the Department of Taxation on a monthly basis. So he pulled the previous sales for all of 17, and he saw us in about the same growth pattern, 2% maybe 3% growth, unless something changes between now and January 1st of 19. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think we will be fresh eyes, new company. Hopefully, and I feel comfortable. Everyone I spoke to kind of follow up on this company was very satisfied with their work. They had one plan of Cumberland, which had been addressed 3 or 4 years ago with regard to who did the data input, who entered the data, and we resolved that with Cindy's help. They input the data. I think it'll be seamless, but with new eyes. May I have one last point? There is only one other company that does this work, and you may have covered this. Okay. To do our due diligence, I checked with them. They had not seen the RFP. It's their fault they weren't. But their prices, I just said, well, you got it, what would you do? And they were actually a little higher than Pearson had they even bid. So I feel like it's a spin for Blue Banner, and I hope y'all
Anyone else?
No.
I'm sorry. Running behind today. All righty. If there are no other questions, any other discussion, do I have a motion?
Two motions. One added on there, and that's for the dollars for this fiscal year. So just read both. Read two, each one a separate vote on this.
So read the first one, and then we'll do the second.
Okay. I move the Board of Supervisors approve the contract between Helena County and Pearson's Appraisal Service, Inc. for general reassessment services of real property improvements within the county, with the first to become effective as of January 1st, 2019, and the second to become effective on January 1st, 2021, and further authorize the county administrator to execute the agreement subject to the county attorney approval as to form.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion's made by Ms. Seeger, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. We will now move to O, Farm Heritage.
Second motion.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys.
I move the Board of Supervisors approve a budget transfer of $11,474 from the FY18 Board of Supervisors contingency to the FY18 reassessment budget for the increased cost of the new reassessment services contract with Pearson.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Seeger, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. We will now move to O, Farm Heritage Museum Amendment to Project Agreement Number 8.
And this is with Draper Aid and Associates. We do have to do a site plan revision for the Farm Heritage Museum. It is necessary because the building changed. When we originally did the site plan, we were expecting to do a much larger building. As you know, through the first round of IFB or RFP and into the IFB, the building shrank significantly. So we do need to do a new site plan for the construction to begin. We also need to do a construction stakeout. The construction stakeout's performed by a survey crew, and they come out and just mark where different components of the building will be for the contractor to come in and start construction. Our current contract, our current project agreement with this vendor is $22,900. That was the original site plan. The change to add these items is taking it up to adding an additional $4,600, taking the total cost to $27,500. There is no change to the budget at this time. The money's already built in. The site plan is planned to be completed by the end of this week, a stakeout done early next week, and the contractor's indicated he's ready to start construction as soon as that stakeout is complete. So we'll be moving on very quickly. Any questions?
Any questions from the board?
No, I was just wondering if we're adding more expense on the taxpayer dollar, but...
Not at this time. No.
Hopefully we don't.
It's
kind of a fixed price contract.
That's what I was wondering.
So it's not like a unless they start digging in the ground, they found a water made of gold or something. It shouldn't be a fixed price contract.
Gold by God. Oh,
well, historical society had to pick that up.
Yes, they probably would. That'd be a good thing to do.
Yes.
Have they already done this work prior?
For the larger building, yes. But because it's shrinking, there's sediment control that's changing. And I don't pretend to understand exactly what they do on a site plan, but it all has to change. And it's only changing slightly, but to make sure we have a sound building, we need to make sure it's done right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else? Thank you very much. Do we have a motion?
Sure. I move the Board of Supervisors approve Amendment 2. Project Agreement Number 8 with Savannah, Virginia, and Draper Aid and Associates to revise the site plan and for construction stakeout of the Farm Heritage Museum, increasing the agreement to $27,500. Further authorize the County Administrator to execute the agreement subject to approval as to form by the County Attorney.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mrs. Zeger. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you very much.
We'll now go to the reappointment to the FUSD Advisory Committee. Mr. Nichols.
Mr. Chair, this is just a reappointment request. Mr. Lewis Johnson is a current member of the 14th Sanitary District Advisory Board and requests to be reappointed. And the motion is on your screen for Lewis Johnson.
All righty. Any questions?
I'll move the Fulbright County Board of Supervisors appoint Mr. Lewis Johnson to the Faulkner Sanitary District Advisory Board with a term beginning January 1, 2018 and ending December 31st, 2021.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Booker, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. All righty, presentations. We will now open with presentations Q, 2017 Board of Equalization Report. Mr. Hanna. Good evening, sir.
I'll sit down, but I don't know how long I'm going to be here. The report was previously submitted to you, and that is the compilation of all the action cases that we actually took action on. It does not indicate the volume of phone calls we had with just questions. A lot of them were just people just wanted information. And it's just very interesting when you get into it as to the, as you can see, we've made some changes, some unnecessary due to just an error. Others were just neglect, whatever you want to call it. But we did the best we could, and as far as I know, everybody was happy with the results. We didn't get any court actions.
We have any complaints in my office this last year, which is unusual. We usually get one or two.
Yeah. We got our money's worth out of you, it looks like, this.
You got too much money.
we gave a big pay raise. So.
Yeah, you got it.
Do you have any questions?
I think they've been very well pleased with you in the past. I've always heard good comments from you, but you're always going to have somebody or a few people that disagree, and that's normal.
Well, most of them we can handle and we can explain away their concerns. Some of it is they just don't understand.
And I noticed some of them you even increased. There are several of them, too, so they were looked at very well, I think.
We had one situation, and I know it's going to come up again with the Zion's Crossroads area, and we took care of it, and Mr. Sheridan Lugatro, we thought we were going to have some interest, but we didn't, but we took care of it.
Were there any common threads to people's concerns or not?
No, not really. A lot of it was just people just didn't know. A lot of people, when they get the notice on the increase or change in assessment, they don't read the whole thing. And that tells them right then and there, if you have a question, call, and the assessor is here for a period of 30, maybe 45 days. They're the people you want to talk to. And if you miss that opportunity, then you got to come see us, which we're happy to do. But I don't know how to get that across to the public that you have this opportunity to go talk to the appraiser and find out exactly what he was thinking and what he missed or didn't miss. That's all. You know.
That might be something that we put on fan mail. I don't know if I have it.
Probably whenever the bills go out in December, we just need to send a reminder to everybody. You've got 45.
Any questions?
We normally publish that in the local paper. Mm-hmm. I think we did this last year, too, because we say that you can get appointments with the assessment firm during this period. And then there's separate articles going later for this. But there will always be somebody missing.
Oh, yeah.
$10.
Put it in red.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to ask a question, too.
Yes.
Mr. Hanna, did the Weaver building work out okay during this past
period? Weaver building was fantastic. Okay, good. We're not giving that up. We have a long-term contract with Mr. Weaver.
That's one of the reasons why the building's converted, because it can use for these kinds of purposes. It makes it pretty easy. Mm-hmm.
The Weaver facility is fantastic. It's convenient. It's easy. It's accessible. And
did you remodel the building?
Did you put the tarp over the sign on the side of the building?
That was Mr. Payne. I had nothing to do with that.
You need a tarp. That's for sure.
Rumor has it that Weaver's getting ready to launch his Model A into the space.
It's okay.
All righty. Any other questions from the board?
Any other questions?
Thank you so much, Mr. Hand. We appreciate all the work you guys do.
Thank you.
Next is our tourism strategic plan. Mr. Smith.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I'm not asking for money.
Good.
Money.
You can ask.
Exactly. So the tourism strategic plan, this is something that we've been working on. Aaron Spitzer, Parks and Recreation Director, myself and our EdTech team, probably about 6 to 8 months. We've collected a lot of usable information regarding tourism and how we could partner with other businesses throughout the community, throughout the region that focus on tourism. So we feel like this is a good stepping point for us to pursue and keep moving forward. I'll go over the goals and objectives here shortly, but this essentially is a guideline, something that we've never had before. This is really weird sitting down and speaking with you all. But this is a guideline that we desperately need to keep moving forward. It's not the end-all, be-all, but it's something that step-by-step, we think that, you know, this is going to be important for us to get us where we want to be, essentially. You can see up in the right-hand corner, this is a tourism logo. It's part of one of our goals. I'll get to that in a second, but we're probably 99.9% away from it. We have a few more updates, and then we'll be able to start marketing that. So what is what are we trying to do? What's our objective here? Like I said before, we spent a lot of time collecting a lot of data, sending emails out, talking to folks who do this 24/7 every day. Part of my role is in tourism is to, you know, do the basics at least. You know, we've got a lot of stuff going on in our offices now, but this strategy will help us at least know what we're getting into. We'll talk a little bit more about a tourism department, how that could be developed in a little bit. But the strategy, basically, it's all about partnerships and building the relationships in the community. We have a lot of tourism in the community right now. We're just trying to figure out the who's and the what's so we can partner and not reinvent the wheel, but kind of join them on their bandwagon. So if you look at, this is just something we threw together. These are some of the action photos that were taken in the county. We've got a guy on a mountain bike at Pleasant Grove. This was taken on the Ravana River. This was actually out of Pleasant Grove. One of the, I guess the last 3 years, they had a horse trail ride.
They're getting pretty close to the water, aren't they, that balloon?
The balloons?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like it. That's why I'm not going to ever get on one of those.
That's where you want to be. You want to be close to the
water. Yeah. And the cool thing.
I'm thinking the same water, thing. Yeah.
So going back to partnerships, the Ravana River Company, they were looking, I guess about 2 years ago, they were looking for their headquarters. Unfortunately, they went to Charlottesville. They know how we feel about that, or how I feel about that. But we always have room for them to move closer to the Ravana. But they're one of the groups that are always, during the warmer months, they're always on the river from Crofton to Palmyra. And these are some of the action photos that they've taken and shared with us to use on our tourism site. let's see. So you look at any strategy or plan and we didn't try to reinvent the wheel. Mr. O'Brien, you had asked what the Virginia Tourism Corporation can do. We had them come out and talk a little bit about their partnership, what they can provide. Unfortunately, we don't fall in there in a district where they have a district rep that can come to whatever meeting that we need them to come to. But they're always going to be a resource. They have several grant programs that we'll be able to apply for, and we'll get to that in a few slides here. The mission is to basically, let me get down to the mission and vision. our mission is to basically capture funds from folks who come in and visit Fluvanna, to put it pretty vague and simple. And we do have a lot of folks who visit, whether it's for graduation, they're spending money at the local gas station, they're stopping in at First Run when they, get out at the boat ramp. Whether they're visiting friends and family at the lake or coming in for an afternoon at Cunningham Creek. So we do have a pretty unique situation where we are, on top of the fact that Albemarle, Louisa, there's other attractions. So we're not just looking in-house, but we're trying to expand and looking at the entire region. How can we capture folks coming from Richmond or D.C. to Monticello. There's 2 million folks that visit Monticello. So partnering with organizations like that, especially when it comes to marketing, is going to be really important. You don't want to, you know, market in one area, arena, or target when they have a totally separate market. So we're going to try and piggyback off of their successes and what they're trying to do. Let me get down to these goals and objectives. So before I get down there, the SWOT analysis was put together, and we're always looking to, we're going to be always looking to expand on this. So tonight, if you have comments, we want to be able to get those in. So at the next board meeting or a future board meeting, we can come back with a final version. But like I said, we want to, this is going to be a working document. This is not something that we just figure out, we sign off on, and put it away for a couple of years. This is something that we're going to use to facilitate some tourism opportunities. So one of the first goals, and I'm not going to, feel free to interrupt me and ask questions if you've read through this. One of our first objectives is going to be really building on the already successful strategies, not just what we have going on and what we're working on, but the Visitors Bureau in Charlottesville, or what Louisa County has been doing with what they're trying to promote and market in at Lake Anna. So we want to develop or continue to develop those relationships and utilize some of their marketing avenues and tools. We feel that some of these, so the plan is from 2018 to 2020. We didn't want to go from 2018 to 2025. Like I said, this is going to be a working document. And we feel like these goals and objectives are doable. You know, some of the items that we have listed, we're already in the process of doing. So we want to be able to capture that momentum and keep it moving forward. One of the cool things that Nelson County did probably 15, 20 years ago, they developed an agritourism networking group. Essentially, it was made up of business owners, and they reached out to the county to be a part of that. I think it would be, and this is why we wanted to have this particular tool in there, it's going to be beneficial not just to get feedback from local business owners and have a county-ran commission or team, but it's going to be crucial for the actual business, tourism business owners to facilitate this kind of group. Most of the time, folks call the wineries to find out how business is doing. They don't call economic development or planning or building. So it'll be important to try and establish a team like this. And I've mentioned this to a couple of the wine owners here in the county, and they're for it, but it goes back to timing and how much time they have. But the fact that Nelson County has done this and they've been successful with Nelson 151 just goes to show, if you have a plan and businesses want to work with or plan around tourism, it can happen. But it's going to be crucial to get their buy-in and really expertise. Another goal we're working on right now is the artisan home-based business tool, and essentially what that's going to do is not just decrease paperwork and finances that folks are going to have to jump through to get their business started in their backyard, but it'll put another bullseye on Fluvanna County as being business friendly, especially in the tourism realm. And we're hoping within the next couple months you all will see the final documents to approve. Something else we're working on is broadband access. We've got some opportunities coming up, and why that's important, not just for business but for real estate. You know, if there's a good stretch of land in Kent Store and folks are looking to buy, we've got, you know, I've talked with staff that have tried to sell property and they can't sell it because of broadband access. And that just kind of goes both ways with, you know, residential and business. So this is something that's going to be crucial and critical to help us with this strategy. We are going to look at, we would like to look at the capacity of the tourism office. Right now it's just me, Aaron. We've got our attack team of volunteers. We've got some other folks. FLDP has a project that we're going to be working on with them as far as collecting some more tourism assets. But we'd like to look at and really understand what it would take to maybe get to the point of hiring a part-time tourism coordinator. Floyd County, I think they started where we did, where we are right now, about 10 to 15 years ago, maybe 10 years ago. And in their plan, you know, they mapped out items just like this. And I think right now, I think they do still have a part-time coordinator. But this is going to be important for us to at least know the facts and figures. Again, utilizing, capitalizing on the tourism businesses and successes that are already happening. We've got several canoe rentals and outdoor recreation businesses in Scottsville and Albemarle County. Along with having this strategy, you know, we're going to be able to partner with organizations like that, so we know when they're around, and maybe we can give the Historical Society a heads up when Old Farm Day is taking place for Parks and Rec. Let them know, or they can be in the know of what's happening. You know, if there's a big event like the James or the Bateau Festival, why wouldn't we want to try and plan another smaller event for the passerbys who are coming through, whether it's just like a half day cookout or camp out or whatever. So really, as far as monitoring the successes and monitoring the plan, Aaron and I have talked about this. You know, we've got members from our attack on our attack team from the Historical Society, Chamber of Commerce. It's good to have everybody in one room so we can discuss and talk about what's coming up, because then we can really focus on, okay, what's going to be, you know, what makes sense. We're not going to try and reinvent the wheel, but it's going to be on all of us, including business owners, to keep us abreast and let us know what's coming up. Not only can we market that on social media, but we can kind of plan around and vice versa, plan around certain events so we're not taking away from any revenue streams, and holding everybody accountable. Going back to the creation of a tourism task force, but a business tourism team. Maybe those are the guys that, well, in my mind, those will be the one of the first contacts that, you know, someone that wants to open a business or a bed and breakfast, they reach out to me. I'm going to connect them with the business tourism team that have been successful in the county, so they can help drive not just their business, but clients. So with that, does anyone have any questions?
Are there any whole frisbee disc golf or disc golf? All
right. I've got my frisbee disc in my bag right now.
The one thing, the one thing I'd add to your pictures up there is I try to get possibly a picture of the wineries, because I'm sitting here thinking about our tourism things. You got the river, you got the old stone jail, and then maybe get a picture of the softball, little league field, baseball field, whatever. Those are our tourist draws.
The action.
That's right now, those are things. Can anybody else think of anything else? I mean, Pleasant Grove shots, we got those. But I get some other winery, and we have a couple of farms that draw people in. Fruit Hill Orchard gets people in.
I see where the strength of strong base of African American historical sites, Rosenwald School, Slave Town, etc. There's a great deal of history in African American churches. Now, the Lyles Church is the oldest church, I think, in Fluvanna. And Evergreen, St. James, and probably Bird Grove, who are African-American churches, grew out of that church. Our churches go back to 1868. Reverend James Barrett was our first pastor, and he went, after doing Reconstruction, he went into the State Department to talk about, as one of the African, there were a few at that time, to talk about what the African American needs were. So I think it's interesting to even see how those churches are built, you know, with two doors. I think Lyle's church is two doors. The balconies up there where we sat in the balcony and they didn't realize we had the best seats because the sound went right on up to us.
I do. As a child, I played up there.
And that's
good. You know, those things are...
We did that with the farms. That might be something that we think about doing with the churches. Those that are 200, those that are 200 years old, those that are 100 years old.
Talking about cemeteries.
150.
One of the...
Cunningham is. That's right.
We just... Mel, was ours a 200?
So it's a bunch of Black and Caucasian churches and different denominations. Yeah. The old churches that have been here.
What we really want to try and capture is what is actually open to the public, so we can have that listed, because we've got, you know, 100 other items that we can list. They're just not open to the public.
Yeah, like Bremo Bluff.
So we just have to be really careful with that.
We're
in the process.
Some of the pastors might get a little uptight to see people walking in and out of the church when it's not church hours and they're not there.
Well, and going back to partnership, the Historical Society has been working on some items. This gives us the chance to, helping them finish what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, the second science they've been doing certainly draws people in and stuff. Yeah. It's been good.
Just connecting the tourism team in the county with what we're trying to do on our website, social media, so we're all working in concert.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Eager?
Yeah, Jason, I received something from a brochure from Albemarle in Charlottesville, and it listed everything that was coming up for the year so that you could plan on your events well ahead of time or buy tickets. And I don't know if you can get some of our bigger events.
We can.
Like the fair and Old Farm Day, but that might give us a little bit of exposure for not a lot of cost.
And I'm looking at, in fact, I met with Maxine Holland this week about Juneteenth. You know what Juneteenth is? Juneteenth is after the end of slavery. The message did not get to Texas until much later, and it got to Texas in the middle part of June. I think it was like June 19th. So a lot of states celebrate that as Emancipation Day or Freedom Day or June 10th. And Charlottesville has been celebrating for 17 years. And they bring in panels and speakers, and Africans come in and talk about the history, and it's a lot of exhibits. And so we're going to participate with her this year, hoping that maybe we could bring a Juneteenth to Savannah County in a couple of years.
Well, knowing about that, and if nothing else, we can connect with the Historical Society or maybe another event that we know of.
Right.
See if they would be able to work
it in.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Or we could advertise, hey, we're having an event in Savannah 20 minutes.
And we might have to remember to take a picture. You know, it's nice seeing somebody canoeing or kayaking down the river, but you really catch somebody's attention if they're holding up about a 4-pound bass.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
Dynamite will catch anything.
Moselle, about the Bremo Bluff Plantation? You mentioned that.
Yes.
Is that ever open?
They've opened it to the Savannah County Leadership
Group. That's just an outside tour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
And that was because I think Easton Lovin knew Mr. Cummins. So
yeah.
He got
Mr. Cumbo, yes.
The year I was on the leadership class, they were sitting outside and they invited us in.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have the old chairs out there and everything?
Mm-hmm. They had chairs and they were down for a Virginia game.
We went in.
Great grandson or something along those lines.
That was nice.
What we'd like to do is, if you all have any other suggestions or don't, at the next meeting we'll come back to have it officially adopted and approved and keep moving forward.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you very much. We appreciate it, sir. All righty. Now we'll go forward with the consent agenda. S, minutes of December 20th, 2017. T, minutes of January 10th, 2018. U, Human Resources Manager Salary. And V, FY18 Schools Insurance Claim. Dodge Journey. I'm not going to say anything about the people driving that, but they were safe. That's all that matters.
All you're saying is they were safe, armed, and alive.
Exactly. And W is a repeat, correct? We just scratched W. All right. All righty. Anything to pull from the consent agenda?
No.
Anyone, do I have a motion to adopt?
I move that we adopt the consent agenda.
Second?
Second.
All right. Motion made by Ms. Booker and seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Is there any unfinished business?
One issue we'd like to talk about the ARC, if you've got a couple minutes. Got the commissioner here that can talk a little bit about. Mr. Stevens is not here this week, but we talk about the ARC building and cap storms and repair needs, and try to get prepared to make some, do some plans on that. And then Mr. Reaver wanted to talk about the Central Virginia Regional Jail.
Yes, I text you a little something there.
As soon as we get out of this,
we can
talk about
it. Okay.
All right.
Christmas morning. Oh, hey, good. This is great.
All right.
Yeah. Payoff. That's really fantastic. Yeah.
Let the record show up now out of arrears.
Off the record.
So what are we voting on now?
I paid for Christmas dinner.
You know, that's email you sent up with regard to.
Yes, sir.
I would have forgotten again. I apologize. The issue, frankly, with the ARC hall is this. The electoral board, and we're fortunate to have our electoral board chair here with us, Mr. Graff, and have asked for some years for some upgrades to the ARC hall. It normally has not been a huge issue for the November election that we don't have air conditioning. We have heat. The lighting was put in for, a place to have dances. It's not like this. It's not bright. They've asked for heating upgrades, so heating and air conditioning. They've asked for better lighting, and I can appreciate it. They need it. It would be nice if they had better bathrooms, particularly a handicap bathroom. They don't have it. It's an older building. It was built in 1952. And here's what the real bottom line is. We have a very small budget, and we have worked. Frankly, the building is available to the community. There's no membership necessarily. You don't have to be a member to call and ask to use it for a wedding reception or teenage dance or whatever you might need it for. We try to make it available to any and everyone, whether they are citizens necessarily in this county or the adjacent area. And we're in the close proximity of Louisa and Goochie. We don't necessarily ask, look for people from Northern Virginia and that type of thing. It's used by the county. We consider it to be a good partnership. The electoral board uses it as primarily, their precinct. But you all know that Parks and Rec has now grown to twice a month, and that's a really good association we have with Parks and Rec, and that's done well. They've built that program. The fire department uses
it. Senior citizens.
Yes, ma'am. Senior citizens specifically, twice a month, and I'll tell you, they like me. They may be older, but they're tough because they've been up there in June, July, and August, and that's pretty brutal with no AC. Fire department uses it for training, everything from inside the building with meetings and gatherings to we do extrication training because, any of the property over there that's not asphalt is owned by the ARC. If it's grass, it's owned by the ARC. And so we allow them to park whatever they need over there to practice cutting up, extrication, etc. It's a good partnership. I'm sure you know that we have a joint partnership right now with the sewer over there. It's located on the ARC Hall's property, but the county pays for the annual maintenance on it. so it works well together. That's the sewer system for both the ERC and the fire department. So here's where we are. The, you know, we just don't have a budget that's going to generate enough money to put air conditioning in the building. We have been making some minor improvements along the way, keeping things up. But the cold weather we had in January, two weeks of, you know, 20 degree or below weather, caused some significant problems. We had pipes rupture, and that when we went in to get the pipes repaired, we found that the kitchen floor, we knew had a problem with the kitchen floor. The floor joists were deteriorated to the point they had to be replaced. We have $2,000 in the budget. With some private donations and just about all of that money, we have gotten the plumbing repaired and we've gotten the kitchen floor replaced. How? People with the skill to do that just simply did it for a little to no cost. The gentleman that rebuilt the kitchen floor did it for $700. We had to provide the materials, but $700. He tore out the floor, replaced the joist, put in new subflooring, and it's solid. You know, it's an excellent floor now. But we're out of money, and we haven't got the air conditioning upgrades. Y'all have brought this up. I won't belabor it. Here's where we see we are. If we don't have some improvements to the building, I believe Mr. Graff will tell you that the electoral board is going to say you got to change the precinct. Specials and primaries are really hard on them with regard to the HVAC and the reduced lighting. I know that y'all have been presented with some proposed costs, and we appreciate that. I've met with Mr. Stevens, and I believe that if we've actually also met with Mr. Moss to look at a private / public partnership to try to raise money. Marvin basically said two things. Not being a 401c3, finding private donations would be very difficult. However, not impossible if there were some seed money that was put forward, i.e. the county. And so we're, and I'm only here because I'm president of ARC Hall, and there's, you know, this very small group. Y'all may know Nancy Bowles, her son Jimmy, and his wife Barbara are the other two active committee members. So Jim knows I'm here, he and Barb. And we either have to have some help with their public, with the county / ARC Hall partnership, or I think that you're going to have to find. We're not asking them to leave. I think Dan's going to tell you that they have to have somewhere with air conditioning and better lighting. So we looked at the bare bones improvements, and we think that for $30,000, we can put heating and air conditioning in the building, which would give us air conditioning, and it would give us secondary heating system. We have electric now, it works well, but heat pump, of course, does heat as well there. New lights, we think, and run these by Mr. Stevens. These are bare bones. Wayne has, for example, one of the individuals that works for CII, who does a lot for us, lives here in the county, and Wayne's spoken to him about trying to get us a good price. He realized this is a not-for-profit organization that is used by the county and its citizens. So I think I have put in bathroom improvements of $5,000, a new roof, new shingle roof for $10,000, total of $27,000. I threw $3,000 in for contingency, and if we don't get it, well, we won't be able to make improvements. And we'll be happy to continue to entertain the Board of Elections for as a precinct. Works great, good parking. Everybody knows where it is. It's just they are, and I don't want to put away, but is that a fair statement, Dan, that y'all are going to ask to move it if you don't get air conditioning by the next special election? So.
That, I think, probably the larger consideration is we have addressed the kitchen floor with the state. Anybody who can't get the kitchen floor, that's where they can't get the kitchen floor. And that also brings up a point, I'm not sure if there's any handicap grant in such a condition as we need to push this about, we're not going to have any kitchen
floor. What I intend is if the county decides to give us funding, is to ask Mr. Stevens to work with us to get the tightest price we can and give us the priority of items. Handicap ramp may be the priority item, but air conditioning is maybe second, and lighting is third. We think that for $30,000 we can accomplish that, and it would give us the ability to go back to Mr. Moss and pursue other private funding, because there's seed money there from the county. I think he presented like $93,000 in change, and I know that's not probably in their purview to get that, but this is bare bones, and if we don't get it, we'll continue to do business like we have been, but I can't tell you where you'd move the precinct to. That's y'all's call.
Well, in Cunningham, you know where they have their voting.
At the church.
At the church.
Yes, sir.
Church.
It works very well.
And I think that they get $100 each election. So, that actually resolves that problem. And the question is, where are you going to get your, where's the county going to get their $30,000?
Well, that's certainly y'all's call. I'm not going to try to pretend to know. I'm not, but I think you just needed to know the facts. We now have a just about zero balance, but, finances, because we got about $1,000 that's been privately funded to do this. I think it's important you know the facts. If you decide that you can't do it, well, then we'll continue to operate, but we'll just do whatever the board directs with regard to the precinct, The thing I thought about was some of the churches over there, but the nice thing about Cunningham and one other church is it's in a fellowship hall. You don't have to move too much. We have a really, Beulah's built a beautiful worship center in Kent Store, but it's their worship center, and so it would probably be quite a bit to move that around to accommodate for voting, for a vote, because they come in generally on Sunday. The electoral board gets there early to make sure it's a good job's done, so it's not just a Tuesday event. It's generally a Sunday through late Tuesday night, sometimes even Wednesday morning. It's a three-day process, more or less. And I can see how it wouldn't interrupt too much a fellowship hall, but I could see a worship service, worship center. That would be a pretty big undertaking to have to move everything. Again, I won't belabor it. Y'all know the facts. Either we get some help, or they're probably going to come ask you to consider moving it. And it's really y'all's call, but I think we would be remiss not to bring it to your attention like we have. And I think we can do it for, if it's less than 30, we will work with what we can get. And I suspect the kitchen floor is done. It'll be air conditioning and lighting. Can I do that for
Antioch? Is certainly a treasure for us to be able to use, because it's got ample parking and it's got a beautiful fellowship hall that can be used as an open space. I just don't know the place in the Columbia district. Even if you use the farthest southern place in Columbia and use St. Joe's Parish Hall, the Parish Hall might be able to use, but the parking is terrible there. So the folks that have to come upstairs to come up, and there's no one or two handicap spaces that far.
We'll have as many as 50 or 60 cars, which would fill up all of Columbia. Sure.
The fire department in Kent Store would be fantastic if it were the size of and had adequate parking. But it just doesn't.
We've got about 15 parking spaces at the firehouse.
Right, and plus, we have an administrative area in Kent Store, but it's about 20% of the size of Palmyre. Right. Serves us fine. But you go, well, we could use the bays, but the bays are heated, they're not air conditioned. Mm-hmm. So we're back to the same problem for the June primary or special elections.
Then you got to park the trucks across at the ARC hall, and they all rely on battery power, which they're all plugged in all the time, so then you have them out sitting out for 12 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think as long as, if the board were going to be inclined to head this way, it seems to be at least a reasonable opportunity to have a building kind of locked in for senior services and for community meetings that the board may hold and for elections at no cost to the county, because we'd be competing on the front end to make sure the facility is suitable for what our needs are.
And the other thing,
I think
if we get the heating and the air conditioning right, you all will be able to have more activities there.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah, it shut down for about 5 months. Just come to funds. I meant to mention, the county does reimburse us. We get $400 a year for anything the electoral board needs, whether it's one election or three. Parks and Rec we haven't charged because it's for our senior citizens. And so the long-term usage at no cost to any county facility. You know, we do community meetings. That's why we have had the pipeline meetings authority. And stuff like that, the James River Water Authority meetings. Mm-hmm. It serves a pretty solid community purpose. And we've thought about other potential areas to be able to vote. And there's several other churches, but they either don't have a fellowship hall that's large enough, or it's like the one at Bird Chapel is below ground, you know, and that's just not convenient.
And we don't have parking enough. So.
Parking
stuff. It has to be either in the district or within 1 mile of the district line. I just don't know what alternatives there would be. That would be convenient also for the citizens along the district.
So. There you have it.
You know, I would be in favor of that, because I think we've talked about this before.
Yes, ma'am.
And at that time, we were really talking, I mean, I think Wayne talked to us about kind of modernizing the kitchen, that the kitchen even needed some things, but you're not talking about that now.
We knew the floor was the problem.
We
fixed that.
Right, you fixed that.
Yes, ma'am.
So,
we don't need to be upgrading the kitchen for our house.
Right. So. They're going to do it for their, but I think it's just doesn't make any sense to have a nice building like that. And we cannot bring it up to a standard that meets our needs, especially when we have our whole lot of elections there. And it's been there for years.
The other alternative would be to buy it from the organization and use it as training building for the fire department, for those members, and just take it over fully. But
that's more money.
More expensive alternative.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So I'm in favor of trying to get the best price and do what we need to do for
and just
the
do
building,
what needs to be
what
done.
Needs to
not
be
trying
done.
To do the extras. The extras,
right.
Let them make the money.
Yeah, we're
going to pay for extras on
volunteer help on alcohol mail.
Yeah, Mr. Stevens is very familiar, and he has a lot of other things that he thinks would help it. But we're just looking at what we believe right now it's bare bones to accommodate our Parks and Rec, our elderly, and our electoral board. Now, would we benefit? Sure, because we can let people rent it throughout the summer. And that hasn't been the case for since it was built.
Family reunions.
And it's useful. You name it. We just make sure that they clean it up. The rental is pretty cheap. It's $150 to rent it for the day or night. That's most of those buildings that size are $1,500, $150. But
we have community charities that build handicap ramps. Maybe that would be a way to go.
There are.
Probably could get help on the handicap ramp.
Think about all
the handicap ramp is going to be minimal. I mean, you're looking at the lumber.
Well,
that's
what I'm thinking. The ones that all I can remember.
Remember
how it ever came? I'm dating myself. Yes, ma'am.
Chairman, for what it's worth.
Yes, sir.
To address one comment that Mr. Sheridan made, it's difficult to raise money for contributions when it's not tax deductible.
When it can't be taxed.
There's no reason that if citizens wanted to make a tax deduction. Tax deductible contribution to this activity, you could donate it under the county's voluntary contribution program
right. And
earmark it for that purpose. Because any contribution to the county would be tax deductible.
That's a good idea.
I hadn't thought about that.
Thank you,
Mr. Payne.
Man, you earned it. You'll keep now. No, sir. No baseball game on yet. We got
7:00.
All right, well, Mr. O'Brien, what's your feeling?
Well, I think some sort of formal contract's necessary.
It needs to be on the agenda.
Yeah, it needs to be on the agenda, of course.
I think we're looking for head nods tonight, if it's a possibility of this working out and being able to take it. I think that's one of the things you're looking for, is that we can address some of the issues. Mr. Raff, is that close?
I'm just trying to get a notion.
Okay.
That's the primary June
Miss.
We have a 90-day publication notice. It may be shorter for a primary, 90 days in election.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Ralph, do you know of any other places?
Needs to go on agenda before.
Should we move forward with it?
Baptist Church has done.
Yeah, put down the agenda.
And maybe Bird Creek Methodist. But I'm concerned that both of those may want to cause a big dislocation of the worship hall.
Right.
To provide us a space we need. Mm-hmm. I want to say a couple things briefly. The heat in the building during the June primary last year just about wiped out the electoral team. It was awful. Only in that place in the afternoon on election day were really suffering from all of the house that they just plucked it off. Mm-hmm. We need to try. That's the only election hall we have for the night condition. So that's a critical issue. That's certainly not as important as the board class. That's a big issue that comes with us. We have to come to a place like that because sometimes we're busy and make deadlines.
There's no discussion on this. This is a need.
Well, I mean, we've had enough people say, yes, we need to do this and move forward with it.
Right.
Then we'll come back with a formal proposal.
And you'll have the price.
Yes. And there's no.
Well, it won't be the only price, I think. This
we need to worry about or not.
Because we're not planning on doing the contracting on this. If we're going to pay to have some upgrades done, we'll turn the money over and let them contract and deal with the cheapest way they can. And it'll be limited funds, I would hope. I wouldn't want to necessarily take this on for the county to do.
And we're happy to do that. Frankly, we've had good results from local contractors who have either used it, familiar with it, and are anxious to.
Been to dances there on for Saturday night.
I would like to see it broken out as to what how much things cost, and we can then choose which things we think. If you're really concerned about AC and lighting, those would be the primary things.
Well, you've got AC, lighting, handicap accessibility, and room. Those are the four basic things that he's talking about, and that's the $30,000 price tag. Now you can say, okay, we'll contribute $15,000 towards these improvements, and have them raise the rest. But I'm not sure how they can raise $15,000. But we can also work on an arrangement where we can get, if there is money raised, it can be paid back to the county over time or something too.
But that handicap has been voluntarily done, I think, in the past. But
that's for homes.
Why would they do it for that?
Houses.
You're right.
Yeah, and they may not do it for there, but it's certainly relatively.
I mean, what do you have to lose but checking?
No, it's not that we're not going to check this waiver. I'm just not trying to raise any hopes that we're going to get a free handicap ramp, because that's not what they normally do for commercial buildings.
I do think it could be simplified. You know, when it was done with volunteer labor, and Mr. Stevens felt like it was overly complicated because it kind of S-turns.
You zigzag.
You're only coming up about 2.5 feet into the door. And maybe it would, and we got lots of room to just have made a nice straight shot.
Versus to meet code on the slope.
And that's why having Mr. Stevens' expertise has been helpful. It's a private facility, but we'd like to do it, you know, right. We have to have the money for the AC and lighting and the handicap ramp, and or
I hate to say this, but your other choice might be Mr. Sheridan and myself up there, and Lord only knows what that thing would be.
Well, that sounds good. Then we can supervise you. Oh, we got three coming ahead.
Well, let the record show that the back deck, as you come out of the exit, was constructed by Mr. Graff and your father-in-law.
Okay.
And they did that, you know, because it needed to be done and didn't charge anything for it. So maybe we get them interested in a handicap ramp too. So I never know. But we appreciate your time.
We just need guidance. We're done.
I think Mr. Graff needed a feeling for whether this is an opportunity or not.
We'll have something on your February 21st agenda for consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Sheridan.
Yes, sir.
All righty. And what was the other one? Hang on a second. Mr. Graff, like to add one thing. You just run the Kent Store branch of it.
I'm the secretary and the chairman of Catherine.
But doesn't the secretary get paid more than the chair?
I
mean,
that is true.
They do more work, at least at this point. I'm not going to say anything else. All right, and what was the second thing, Mr.
Central Virginia Regional Jail Road, Mr.
Right, yeah, I just wanted to bring that up, that certainly is an option. The other counties use that pretty much, and they call them the rogue gang of Central Virginia Regional Jail. And I noticed some figures that the other counties, which includes Green, Orange, Madison, and Louisa, and one county has used the amount of $1,853. And I'm wondering if we can use it more, use them more here in Savannah County. We've discussed this before.
The rogue gang.
The short answer is no, because we get them every single time they're provided to us. Of the five jurisdictions, and we can certainly talk to jail. I just talked to the superintendent last
Thursday. You were at their meeting.
And talked to him about it. Of the five jurisdictions that are the jurisdictions that oversee and own the Central Virginia Regional Jail, the road crew goes out to all five of those jurisdictions on a rotating basis with equal numbers to go into every county. And so we get them about twice a month. And whenever they're, and sometimes those are limited because of the rain or things like that. If the jail authority wants to change that and urge the superintendent change to expand the amount of coverage stuff, I would urge the jail authority to do that, and our two representatives who are here to keep squeezing the authority to squeeze the superintendent. But we get the exact same number of fairly divided equitable days as the other four jurisdictions right now. The only way for us to get more would be to expand that. And we use them every single time they come, and they are worth their weight in gold, and they like coming, and we really appreciate their help. If the authority could get the superintendent to expand that service, I think it would be well worth our dollar, even if we had to contribute another guard to be able to provide extra days, it would be well worth the time. It's the cheapest, best labor we can get.
Right.
Not
just
like we have great labor with our staff, but it's inexpensive and good quality labor. They do a really good job and really appreciate it.
I thought you were going to say it's even better than our labor.
No, our folks are fantastic, but they cost more than the,
yes,
the folks from the jail.
And that's somewhat the point of some of that.
No, I would be delighted, I know Mr. Stevens would be delighted, to take them once a day every week if we could possibly get it. But if their resources are spread such that they provide an equal number to each all five jurisdictions currently, and if they want to expand that, I think that authority could have the superintendent tell the jurisdictions what it would cost to expand the program and see if the counties want to chip in on it.
Yeah, and one of the other things, to change the subject now, I was really pleased to see that Mr. Sheridan has sent out to all of us, we have $4 million in reserve that we're getting. Certainly appears to be 1.5% now on that money, and that's the Virginia investment pool. We really haven't talked about that, and that's for 1 to 3 years. That's high quality bond fund, and from what I see, each year, as long as this continues on, and I think interest rates are going to go up, which will mean more money for us, it's going to be projected at about $60,000 a year that we're going to get on that. And as I understand, we haven't done this basically before. Is that your understanding?
Or it has? This is where we just started.
Ms. Leonard sent that out.
Yeah.
She sent it to me and I forwarded it.
Ms. Leonard sent that out. It's a part of her report to the Finance Board. I met with her again yesterday. You will be getting in your board package monthly a report that shows all the investment accounts, the balances in them, and any accrued interest that we've earned off those. So that'll be part of the attachments list that are in your board packages now, where you have the BOS contingency and the fund balance. You'll have a treasurer's report in there that includes those things too. Well, we're just working with her on format. So.
Okay, how long have we been now in this?
We've been there a couple of years.
So we've been in
VIP a couple of years. Financial.
We went in July.
About 3 years.
So it'll be maybe 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years.
I think it was July 2015.
Uh-huh. Okay, it's the first one that I had seen a report.
Yeah, Rudy got it.
Yes. She gives those to us at the Finance Board all the time. So she sent that to me as part of the Finance Board. You had said something about wanting to see it.
Yeah.
So I just forwarded what she had sent to me to y'all.
And as those are refined now, that will be a regular part of your package every month. And so it'll be part of the public package because people will be able to see it. And where you've got the BOS contingency and the CRM report, you'll have also the building inspection report, you'll have the treasurer's report from the Finance Board.
That That's why Mr. Garcia is a part of that financial board.
He was sitting in here a while ago.
Garcia and Eric.
And myself.
Linda.
Mr. Steiner, the chair, and Mr. Garcia are the formal members.
Is there a safe way to raise that level from 4 million, or is that?
Yes.
Okay.
It's up to the financial board.
But that can be looked at then.
Yes.
To see if we can raise that maybe from 4 million on up to.
It should be 7.5 or 8 million right now.
So in theory, we're losing about $45,000 if we don't put it at a safe level. And this appears to be then at a lower level.
Frankly, over the last few days, I'm pretty glad it wasn't in there right now.
Right.
Because you would have lost a bunch of money.
Yes.
A lot more than $40,000.
Uh-huh.
So, but yes.
Luck does play a hand sometimes.
When your next report comes in, you'll have a more comprehensive report. I met with Ms. Leonard yesterday on updating that and making it an easy form for you all to review and read into the public as well.
So you do plan on looking at improving that level then?
Yes, the finance board can direct that at their next meeting. They will likely be looking at that number. We're
just going to look at a bigger figure then.
Yes, sir. And I believe we're meeting next Tuesday.
Okay. Think of all the years when the account was close to $20 million.
And weren't right. But about 0.1.
Yeah.
Less than that. Yeah.
It kind of disappeared, didn't it?
0.003 or something like that.
Yeah. Well, it was all.
Yeah, not 10%, but 1%. It was less than a tenth of a percent.
Yeah. Then that's with some of the discussions.
Hundreds of
thousands.
Yes.
All righty. Well then
we made some progress.
Closed unfinished business. Is there any new business? Hearing none, I will now move to the second round of public comment. Anyone wishing to address the board should come to the podium and state your name and address. Please remember to keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Anyone wishing to address the board at this time? Okay, seeing none, we'll now close the second round of public comment. Mr. Nichols, we will now take a look at the proposed budget.
Indeed. So, Mr. Chair, members of the board, what your board budget packages that you've got, your binders, the figures you see today will reflect what's in that budget binder. Nothing has changed since we did that. There are some changes we're going to have to make in the next few days. We've already identified that everything I present tonight will be based on the numbers in your budget binders. And same for Mr. Well, did you update the sheet? Okay. One thing changed on the CIP sheet, and Mr. Dahl will brief that in his brief. And not on the CIP sheet, in the fund balance. Okay. Anyway, sorry. So let's just go through the budget proposal for fiscal year 19 and then your projected budgets. Again, lots of participation from all the constitutional officers, the agency heads, and department heads, especially from Mr. Dahl, Ms. Quisdale, and Mr. Sheridan and his staff, and then the principal plays on the upfront side this year. The budget priorities I tried to go into this year was to revalidate the revenue projections to make sure we looked at every revenue source that we have available to us now, make sure we have the right estimates for those, and put them in there as aggressively as possible without being too aggressive, and to minimize the need for any additional tax revenue tax increases from our constituents. We hope to reduce the tax rates for businesses to support economic growth, and there is a small decrease in personal property. We do perform a rigorous review of the budgeters every year, and we try to really ask lots of hard questions, so when it comes to a 10 o'clock meeting on the 7th, we can answer your questions if you represent as those departments are not there. We also tried to incorporate whatever essential capital infrastructure projects we could, but this is a very tight year and there's not very much in there. We looked at the out-year budget planning figures and tried to refine those so you would get an idea of what the future holds as far as the dollar needs and how it is reflected in a potential tax rate. And then we continuously work on service efficiency and effectiveness of our county operations. The budget pressures that were in my budget letter to you are listed here. Many of the same things we look at every year, but in this case, we added two additional things this year, the water and sewer infrastructure costs for Zion Crossroads, $580,000,
and the E911 system maintenance is about $250,000. Those are new costs in this coming fiscal year, and that's about 3 cents on the tax rate by itself. The budget this year, on the proposal that you've got in front of you, equals $75 million, a little over almost $75.5 million. It's based on a real estate tax rate of 93.9 cents. That's an increase, obviously, from the fiscal year 17 rate of 90.7. It means about a 3.5% increase for the average homeowner. And we have charts that we'll show you if you want to see what the impact that is on a $75,000 home or a $150,000 home or a $350,000 home. We have that right at our fingertips. It is a modest decrease also proposed to the business and public utility personal property rates from 290 down to 240. You had said that you wanted to be able to get down to about $1.90. I just didn't feel it was appropriate to try to do it all in this year, so I put half of it for this year and took it to 240. Mr. Dahl will talk a little bit about what that means for a business in our county. There is no one, absolutely no one in Fulana County, in the Central Virginia region, that pays less for business taxes than Fulana County businesses. No one. And we'll show you why. Not even close. And that's what your current rates are. Machinery and tools tax remains at $1.90. That went down last year from $4.35 to $1.90 and hasn't changed. And my budget proposal reduces expenditures by about $1 million, but that's not the big story. The big story is it's $6.9 million less than whatever they asked for. And that's to get to the 93.9. So a lot of work to do this year.
How much less? Say that again.
That's $6.9 million less than what people asked for. And that's just
to include CIP.
Largely, everything's static except for the $580,000 for design crossroads project and the $250,000 for the radio maintenance, and that's what makes up almost all the 3 cent increase in the tax rate. The budget proposal does maintain our essential services. It does maintain so those core agencies that we value with Fulana County. It maintains our general culture and recreation activity. There's not any substantive cuts to ongoing operations, but there's also not particularly any new programs or new personnel or big new capital expenditures either. Population levels have remained flat. The latest figures out of Wellen Cooper show us that over the last 7 years, or the last 8 years, since the 2010 census, we've grown by 776 residents. That's about a 3% growth rate, which is very small. We wouldn't necessarily want a whole lot more residents growing all the time, but you sure would like to have more businesses dropping in, because it helps us. But we've only gone up by 700 residents. The build-out largely is done at Lake Monticello, and the other subdivisions that may build out in the future just haven't gone up in the amount of home building that was going on when you had the Lake Monticello build-out happen.
That covers what period of time?
2010 to 2017, from the decennial census
okay.
to July of this last year. So. Permits for new homes went down. It was 110 in, or 108 in 2016, went down to 91 in 2017. There's still a fair number of houses going up around the county, but it's not, you know, in the hundreds or 200s or 300s or 400s like it was years ago.
400 to 1,000.
Yeah, when you were building up, when Lake Monticello was building out, there was lots of stuff going on, and these other smaller subdivisions, but it's steady, but not growing during this last year. Business and industrial building construction permits stayed pretty steady, too, and low, and the overall value of the permits that were issued over the last year in 2017 versus 2016 went down substantially as well. And the assessment that what became effective last January 2017, resulted in about a 3.5% increase in our real estate values, which is great because it helps the bottom line be taxed, but you don't have that same increase for this year at this time. We do have an appropriately conservative reserve budget of $8.3 million in cash. That sits aside, that's the red money that we always show on the graphs, and that's the 12% that the board has designated by policy. And it's a good conservative amount, and we've never touched that in the years that I've been around the Fulana County, the last 12 years. And so it's a good thing not to touch that, except in extreme emergencies. and, you know, catastrophic dimension. You also have, actually, it's not 7 million, it just went down to, what, 6.3 million? About 6.3 million today. We just had messed some figures off there. So you have about $6.3 million in unassigned fund balance, and that's because the things that you approved earlier this year, we were subtracting sequentially, and forgot to subtract those at the time. They're certainly accountable on the document I had. I didn't put them on there. You have some limited flexibility to make some cash funding decisions this year. Hopefully, you still will keep that $3.75 million set aside for cash funding part of the Zion Crossers Water Project. That's already accounted for part of in that $6.5 or $7 million. And we'll give you all the alternatives and options you possibly can during this budget season on what to pay for out of your fund balance. The budget does have revenues that, frankly, are going down in a lot of ways. That's really because part of the revenue increase will be paid off debt service, and you're not paying off that same debt service this year, so you pull money out of the bank to put it to revenue to pay off the debt service amount. That's in out of this year because you haven't paid those debts off. But in general, overall, that means a decrease in revenues for next year because that $1.6 million was accounted for. We've only got about a $550,000 increase in tax revenue that we are expecting at this time. I do expect that will change somewhat in the coming months because the commissioner's office will have some updated figures in March to provide to the board. But it's not, it will be helpful in whatever dollar figure it is, but I don't think it'll be a cure for a really tight budget year. It'll just help.
How do you get a $200,000 increase in school revenue when the composite index went up 2 points?
They got extra money.
Why is school funding going up when the composite index got worse for us?
They received last night. They're getting
$210,000
more.
It's for small school small school fund. It's a state fund. They gave out some extra money to small school systems, and so that county got part of that.
But we're at such a deficit. Those 2 points going from, I think, from 37 to 39, you lost maybe $600,000, as I understand it. How have we made that up if we're having an increase of only $200,000?
It's just on the revenue side. And just doing macro numbers on revenue, we haven't gotten to the balance part of the budget yet, sir.
It doesn't, that, to me, doesn't make sense when we say we have $200,000 an increase in revenues. If you have a $600,000 decrease in the composite index, and you have a $200,000 on another issue, you're left with $400,000 deficit. Is that wrong?
Now we have a net increase of $200,000 from the state.
Is there any sense to play?
I think the school was somewhat surprised that they got
was
the
it ADM
something after the
well you always get increases up. For ADM
and it may have been
and if you have 100 maybe ADM. That's the difference. I'm looking for the difference how you get that
I
figure.
Think the school will have to change.
Yeah, that's something that we will be able to answer.
School that day. Because Perry said that they were surprised that they got the $200,000.
But they said but the smaller your school was, you might get more than we got.
Would we? 100 students, we would get, what, $500,000 additional revenue? Is that what we would get?
I don't know how much we get per student.
You see what I'm talking about? Okay, you get $5,000 from the state.
The state may have just decided to give us more funding.
Students you get. If you have 100 more, what's that going to be? if you get $5,000 more for each.
It wasn't.
I'm trying to.
I have no idea what you mean. And all I can tell you is the figures we have right now from the school system and off the state website is the schools are expected to receive $200,000 in school fees.
From the state.
State revenue in this next fiscal year.
Well, it's good news, but I'm trying to ration out how we get there. It's good that we know the mechanics to it.
February 21st, you're
off. I was going to say, the 21st is our joint meeting, so we'll be able to ask that question.
But if you have 100 student increase, you're going to have about a half million increase. So that could justify what we're talking about.
You don't have 100 student increase.
It wasn't that much.
Well, whatever it is, multiply it by 5,000.
It's small school costs.
Okay.
I'm sorry, that's all I know. It's
that's part of it. That's part of the small school fund. They just decided to give extra additional money.
But I'm talking about now something else.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I understand your question, and I understand what you're saying. I just don't have an answer for you. All I know at this point is that the state revenue is projected to be $200,000 higher. This is going to be a
lot. That's good news.
It is excellent news, but remember, there's nothing in my budget funding anything. Unfortunately. Anyway, so that's revenue highlights. On the dollar we always put this chart in there, we update every year on where revenue goes. When the taxpayer dollars pay the local revenue in, this is where the dollars are spent on primarily schools, necessarily public safety, and health and welfare.
But you've taken the debt service on the school, high school, and putting that in with the school fund, correct?
It is not. It's in the debt service. Oh, wait a second. Debt service is only
no.
$0.36.
Debt service is not 22 cents.
That's 36 cents of a dollar.
Includes the school rate.
Yeah.
Not of a dollar.
That's right.
36% of the tax rate.
But our debt service should be
that's what I would
30, about 33 cents of our tax rate should be debt service.
But this is a true okay. So we're getting wrapped up on the wrong numbers.
Right.
We can equalize these showing a different chart, but one is related to local revenue only, one is related to the tax rate. So the entire tax rate is not funded just with local revenue. This is just local tax dollars on what it pays for. The debt service as a portion of the tax rate, 93.9 or 90.7 or whatever it is, has been around 36%.
That's what I understood.
Right. But on the local revenue that's spent, here's where it goes to. And we'll do a side-by-side comparison of the overall tax dollars versus the local revenue dollars.
Yeah, that was small.
To give you a number. It contributes to all of our debt, but remember, it's not on the same, it's not the same numerator and denominator as the other ratio that we used to see with the 36% of tax rate. Expenditures really didn't go up much except for two things. The Zion Crossroads Water Project, $580,000 debt service, and the $250,000 for radio system ongoing maintenance costs. And you definitely have to address school funding in some shape or form. There's no additional school funding from county sources. There is the $200,000 increase in state funding, but now you've got county funding. And the capital projects were cut down to absolute bare bones minimum. There is some cost in there for some essential building maintenance, some school bus and student transport vehicles, sheriff's office vehicles. Some dollars for the SCBAs, the self-contained breathing apparatus for the fire department, and some work for fire rescue vehicle apparatus replacement. But the vast majority of things that were asked for in the CIP were pushed out. The budget proposal also does not include yet any wedge or any pay raise plans for county employees. I couldn't fit anything more in, even at the 939. Unless I cut everything else out, and so even 93.9 does not include, and we have no idea yet what the benefits plan will look like because we haven't gotten the feedback on the insurance. So
it looks pretty close
that
the
insurance
and the
state
insurance
will
be based off of what I've been able to observe and watch, I don't think they have what they just have to do.
The raises from last fiscal year just went into effect on January 1st, and the 2% cost increase to staff. The budget does have 4 new position requests and 6 upgraded position requests. Only one of those is funded in my budget. The rest of it is that I've identified in the pink coloring on the map. The chart will show you each one of those. But there's 2 positions for the sheriff's office if you discount board funding, 1 for administration/human resources, 1 for social services, and then several upgrades in different department budgets requested for upgrading specific positions rather than hiring new people. And the only one I funded so far was the commissioner in the budget. Previous discussions, it's kind of in the door first, and it was being talked about, and the function they're asking for to add is really kind of already in place, and we need that function done. The other ones are more like things we're going to need to add, and so it makes sense to me to put that one in. The other ones, we really have to have some discussion about that among time. And we sort of try to look at out years, and try to project anything that are big costs in the out years, and build them into the out-year budget. Frankly, the out-year budgets at this point, unless something big changes on projects you want us working on, look pretty steady state, which is good, because if they stay relatively steady state, other than personnel costs, the hope for increases in local revenue will help moderate any inflation increases, I think. But right now, it looks reasonable for the out-years. Although it's going to take more money if you want to fully fund the out-year budget today, it'll take more than money if you want to on tax rate. Remember, your budget calendar coming up, tonight's the 7th. Next week, you'll have your meeting with the constitutional officers. Then after that, the school board comes and presents their adopted budget. And then the regular work session for the gates and then through the end of March. We have one date open in March 28th, but we didn't put a work session in. So if we need to add an additional work session in there before you adopt the budget in April, you can certainly do that. But it's not built in as part of your budget.
You have February the 14th, 6:30 p.m. school board?
That's school board meeting.
Oh, okay. But we're going to meet at 4.
We're meeting at 4, yes, sir.
Okay.
Wednesday the 21st, not on the 14th.
14th, we're meeting at 4.
Right.
14th at 4.
That's what I said.
4 o'clock on the 21st, right? Yes, next week at 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's what I marked.
And I've been promised 3 minutes. I'm not going to say any more.
Oh, yes, for the, that those guys and women becoming a pretty good.
Like I said, I was made a promise, we're going to hold them to it.
I'll be excited to see that. The reason we present this this way is because it's really a plan for you to ask any questions based on what you've seen in your budget binders over the last week. And nothing changed on these specific documents, although there's a fund balance thing we'll show you later. But nothing changed on here as far as tax rate or as far as funding for individual departments from what's in your budget binders now. But that big master budget sheet we'll have available at all subsequent meetings now for the public as well, and this will be posted on the website tomorrow along with the whole CID budget.
So if you had funded all the requests, how much would it have been?
Well, 6.9 million is about 30 cents.
No. 21
cents for a million.
21 cents. 21 cents.
21, I'm sorry, 21 cents, yeah. Not 30 cents. I was just pretty sure the board wasn't going to bite off a 10 or a 20 cent tax.
$1.12, we might be. I might have a coronary.
Call a rescue squad.
Please. Just
bury
me right there.
That was 82 million. 78,000. And yours was 75 million.
So, but in the projections for the out year, as you said, they look pretty stable. We're looking at just those little numbers there, which I know isn't.
Yeah, but I mean, a $700,000 difference is not much. This is another $400,000 to $600,000 difference, and that's another $200,000 difference. Mm-hmm. Remember, that we have a 2% inflation factor built into that, all the way across on the basic core cost. So you're going to see some escalation just from the 2%, but I'm not so worried about the 2%. I'm worried about the big rock things on top of it.
Right.
And so 2% is built in. So if you tried to put tax rates in here to cover this amount, you know, obviously 3.7 million is about, you know, 11% tax rate. You have to take up to $1.05.
So did you put a wedge in here for schools?
No, I did not.
No wedge. So schools not in, staff raise not in, and health care.
Correct.
Those are the three big.
Well, there we go.
Yeah,
and the reason on schools preliminarily asked for 2.7 million.
Right.
It's been refined since then. They're presenting the draft budget to the school board tonight.
Right.
It will be adjusted again, but because we don't know much about what they really want to ask for, we don't know good numbers on the state revenues. State revenues go up $200,000. There was a $1.2 million surplus at the end of last year. You know, the budget year is this tight. Between the $200,000 increase and not having to give back a $1.2 million excess, theoretically, there may be enough of it to do something. I don't know yet.
Mm-hmm. When does the Commissioner of Revenue, what time in March does he get his amount? We want to have a budget meeting after you. Are we having a meeting in March?
When
do you use the gift?
Can't help having an hour and 10, 15 minutes left.
But the thing is, I don't
talking about adding an additional 10 more bus routes. And we're struggling to find drivers right now because they're calling me not every other day asking if I got time to drive. Oh, absolutely. You know, it doesn't matter. I don't need to sleep.
He's not digging any more graves.
That's right. We do that by machine.
Don, are you and I will travel? You and Tom, you gave us a bus ride.
Yes, we did. There you go.
Tell you what, you want to do the most stressful job. We talked about this last night. You want to do the most stressful job in the school system. Yeah. Not principal, not teacher, not superintendent. You go over to Central Elementary as a substitute bus driver, get on one of those buses, and every one of them gets on there is that tall.
Yeah.
And little Johnny, you can't get the names out of them. They don't know the address. I've got to make sure they got a parent standing there. I'm telling you. I've done I won't say all the jobs in the school system, but I've done pretty much most of them at least partly. That was the most stressful job I had ever done in my life.
Okay.
I've driven a bus to Florida.
But the kids were better.
God love people.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. All right.
Get that.
Heaven. I think it's a great profession, but that wouldn't be for me.
Anyway, so in your budget binder, the big budget sheet, the one you're showing on the screen here, those figures are set, and you can, for every one of these items outside, the board supervisor says it's on line 14, that's tab 14 in your budget binder. So you want to go to the finances, you're on tab 21. So all the different budget requests are in there. The big budget document itself lists, you know, what's in the document behind it. So we'll go through all these. And I'm actually raising this and changing this column to deal with the first dollar.
Let me make a comment. Think how many millions of dollars we save because the board of supervisors didn't get their rent.
Actually, that's $6,000 a year. That's a pretty good area.
Right, there you go.
Oh, yeah. You should have been there at my meeting last night. That's got to be an election year.
Your budget on it, and you before each time we come to a work session or a board meeting, if you've got questions, give it to us. We'll feed the answers back to all of you so you know. It allows us to do the research in advance. When we see something in government center, this year, you're asking great questions about the school revenue. I just don't know the answer now, but we'll certainly research that and have information for you on that. But as it stands right now, it's a $200 plus for the school year.
And the schools are making up anyway, right?
March 21st.
They present their budget tonight, the superintendent. They adopt next week, and present the following week to you at your 4 o'clock work session meeting.
And last year, when we were debating the rate, which is what we were like, and the two of you,
I presented a 91.5 budget to you. Mm-hmm. You ended up adopting a 90.7, but if you advertise the 92.5 or 93, you advertised a little bit above what I, my budget proposal was. And last year, in my estimation, I was wrong. I thought this year was going to be a relatively easy year. It's never a good, an easy budget year, but I thought this year was going to be relatively easy because I thought our revenue would be more robust at this time. They're not. But this budget is, in relation to last year, a much tighter, harder budget than last year as far as submitted to reduce the adjustment unless we see a significant change in revenue or unless you change rates or valuations of revenue to the commissioner's office just to be able to adjust what revenue is expected to come in. It's going to be hard to, you're not going to get down to 89 now without substantial personnel changes because that's what we're supposed to do for the job.
Did we include the Vinson taxes amount? And how much is that?
Maybe a factor of the collection.
Yes. It's a percent. 97.
We'll show you the collection, but let's do the next review. I'll just go ahead and talk about this question.
All right, Donald, come on up. Do the next contestant.
So I'll just kind of go over like a big summary version of kind of how we came up with our revenues and expenditures for this. Obviously, as we get into more VOS work sessions, we'll get into more detail of, you know, any revenues you want to see specifically or expenditures as we go through department budgets. So this is just a breakdown of the county administrator's proposed budget, that $75.5 million. This is just a breakdown of the revenues and where we get those revenues from and the expenditures and kind of where they're divvied out between school, general government, debt service from the schools, county, etc. So any questions on that? When we look at our top five general fund revenues, these are our top five revenues as they always are every single year for the county. Real property tax, revenue from the Commonwealth of Virginia, and just like I said, since we're talking about general fund revenues, this excludes state funding for the schools, personal property tax, public service, and sales tax. So we've gotten, on the revenues that we budget for this year, we've gotten more aggressive. For instance, like sales tax has been coming up pretty good the last couple of years. So I think we increased sales tax revenue about, I would say, about $75,000 in this current fiscal year budget. Also, as you're talking about delinquent tax payments for personal property and real property, it's not necessarily a percentage. We go back and we look at trends of what we've been collecting for the years. I mean, is the trend going up? And we're going back to fiscal year 10. See what delinquent amounts we bring in every fiscal year. And for real property, it averages right between about, you know, $550 to about $675,000. One year, I think we had about $700,000 delinquent property taxes. So we don't want to get too aggressive with what we're budgeting for delinquent. And for personal property, we budgeted $400,000. So I think on both of these, we increased it by about $50,000 to $75,000 this year for delinquent revenues.
We have very interesting graphs for everyone that we have. The revenue stream, the only time we're in budget season, if you want to see how aggressive we are doing on the very first one, we can show you that. So you can say, well, gosh, I think we should get another $22,500 from this. We're pretty close. But
655 is what we actually got in fiscal year 17, and what we budgeted was 550.
Okay.
So we're trying to bring it up a little bit closer.
But we're going to get it anyway, whether we get it this year or next year.
Well, we are, but I mean, since we're dealing with this current year's budget, you know, either we're going to come up short, either we're going to overestimate what we think we're going to get, and then we're going to not have the revenue to offset something else.
But then you'll pick it up someplace along the way later.
If we budget too much revenue, we don't want to have to come back to you in May saying, oops, we made a mistake, we overestimated the revenue projections that we thought were going to come. So we would rather be...
But I'm saying even if you lapse it 1 year, then you know what came in the past year, so you could put it in then definitively there.
What?
You see, the sort of put them in. They used to do it that way. That's the way they used to do it. Yeah, in the past. And then you put that in the next budget, you know it's there. Yeah, right. Sure.
Basically, it's just, all you're doing is use fund balance. Right. So if you don't use fund balance, now your budget again. I wouldn't.
You all just doing it different than they did 10 years ago, which it's all the same difference. Money. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the Flavatta County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be it resolved, the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify that to the best of each member's knowledge, one, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711A of the Code of Virginia, 1950, as amended, and two, only public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Booker. Ms. Seeger.
Aye.
Mr. Weaver. Ms. Booker.
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Oh, my.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver and seconded by Ms. Seeger. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. We're out of here.